What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to Salon Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite reality TV shows. Our views do not reflect the contestants outside of the show.
Yo, 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 it's the Salon Nerds. My name is Lee, a.k.a. Watson Lee, and I'm here, my boy, Jack.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. This is your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm not here with my co-host Jazz because I don't know where Jazz is, to be honest with you. He's missing, but Jazz always turns up somehow. So we'll wait for him, but we'll see where he shows up. But until then, let me introduce you to one of our favorite guests, one of the hosts of the Agents of Fandom podcast, our boy TJ. Welcome back, TJ.
How is it going, my friend? Nice to see you again. Obviously, we just linked up to talk some What If on the Agents of Fandom podcast, and now getting to hang out once again. Happy to see you. Ready to dive into some Squid Game, the challenge.
Oh man, I can't wait to talk about Squid Game, man. This was so great. I really, really enjoyed talking to you about the first five episodes. Shout out to the people on TikTok. We got Murph on TikTok. That's awesome. Are you able to see the TikTok chat? Yes, I can see the TikTok chat. I can see the Instagram chat, and we can see the YouTube chat all simultaneously. We have this new setup. It's really, really cool. Join us for a bunch of podcasts we're going to be streaming live from now on. Shout out to people in the YouTube comments. We got Brown Boy Wonder, Salam Games. Yes, the Squid Games are now the Salam Games. Listen, we're going to talk about the last five episodes. So if you want to see the first five episodes, go to part one in our podcast. We're available on YouTube. We're available on Spotify. We are available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, everywhere where they're found. But where we left off at the picnic, and that was wild because I was like, oh, finally something nice for them to do. And they had to like team up with people, and they get to be and sit with their best friend, and they get to have a picnic. And then at the bottom of the picnic basket, there's a secret compartment. And in this secret compartment, you found marbles. And a lot of these people, they watched the movie, they watched the show, and they're like, oh shit. And one of my favorite reactions is how somebody found it and they're like, don't tell anybody, let them enjoy the moment. Give them a few more seconds of happiness before we crush their entire dreams. And I was like, that's so thoughtful. And then somebody else found it and they're like, we got this. Like, I'm like, oh no. And then it took a few minutes to sink in and realize what's happening. I thought that was like a punch in the gut. What are your thoughts about that, TJ?
That was the very best twist of the entire show. You just at the moment that people are feeling their most comfortable, they're feeling their most at home, they're with a friend, they're buddied up, they think they're just getting a nice, you know, consequence-free prize, and it is quite literally tablecloth ripped from underneath them. It's marbles time. One of the two of them are being eliminated. Everyone there is paired up with their closest ally.
Yes.
And one of them is going to be gone. Like, it was the craziest and best twist of the entire show.
It was really, really good. And I really love that. By the way, shout out to the Rooch77. She said, congratulations on your year. Oh my God, we've been on this for a year now. That's pretty awesome. Very cool. Listen, that was definitely heartbreaking. I think the mom-son duo was probably the hardest. I was like, oh no. They've been like thick as thieves through this entire thing, and they have to go against each other. And one guy didn't even have a partner. And I was curious, like, what the hell happened to him? And apparently he got to bypass that entire freaking thing. He didn't even get to do it. That's so funny. That's like the one time where getting picked last actually helps you in that situation because he didn't have to play Marvel. I thought that was really interesting. What are your thoughts about that?
It really just reaffirmed what we talked a lot about in part one of the best possible strategy throughout this game is to be as much of a fly on the wall as possible, to go as unnoticed as possible. And they take that to another level with this one where it, you know what, it seems like, well, damn, I don't have a partner. I don't have anyone to share my picnic with. This just sucks. Yeah. Everybody else is lucky but me. No, it's once again, best case scenario is to go unnoticed and you just get to move on to this one straight to the next round.
I totally agree. And it kind of reminds me of like this saying, it's called the meek will inherit the earth. And that's really what's happening here. The people that are just meek and just like shy and just there, they get so far. And it's really, really interesting. Murph says that happened in the show too. There was a crazy lady that didn't get picked and she made it through. Oh, I've totally forgot about that. Good catch. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting. Who were your team-ups in the Marvels that you felt like were the hardest to watch? Because there were a lot of friends and allies that had to pick each other.
The ones to me that were honestly more difficult to watch than the friendships breaking up were, like, the closer they were, honestly, maybe this is just, like, the bit of the sadist in me, but like I was enjoying the people having to go toe to toe and just like facing off against each other, even if they liked each other, like the mom and the son. That was my favorite because I thought it was hilarious that the son is just like, I don't want to go here without my mom. Like we're in this together. Like I don't want to go home. I don't want to have to send her home.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm not ready to go. I'm staying here till the end. I'm built different. I will send my son home. She's like I was just loving that whole thing.
She was the Thanos of parents. Like, I'm sorry, little one.
Yes, exactly.
The hardest choices take the most strongest of wills. Like, it was really like a Thanos moment. She did not care. She was ready to eliminate her son. No regrets. I thought that was really funny. The one that
toughest for me was just like the people who couldn't even figure out a game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not throwing. I'm not doing anything but throwing.
Yeah.
So we're just going to sit here for an hour and risk going home. Like,
oh my God, they were so annoying where they were just sitting there waiting for the clock to run out. And then they were like, they finally decided to do one. Like, whoever's going to get one in, they're like, all right, fine. That's who wins. They both ended up getting one in and they couldn't decide who won. And I have thoughts about that. So I feel like the girl should have won because she let him go first. That means that guy got an extra turn to make his in. So, like, if you play horse, you play 21. If you get 21 and someone else has 20, but you went first, you get a chance to tie it up. But if you went second and someone gets 20, if you went first and someone gets 21 before you, you don't get a chance to tie it up. So, by those rules, she should have went. And the fact that they couldn't decide, they both got eliminated, was jacked. That was jacked. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
Couldn't agree more. Like, I didn't have all of that much sympathy by the end because I was just annoyed at both of them.
I was
like, I feel like I had like one lean, like, all right, he's being unreasonable. I'm cheering for her. Okay, she's being unreasonable now. I'm cheering for him. By the end, I was just annoyed with both of them. But yeah. I agree with you 100%. It should have been her that got the win. I felt like there was just so much bad blood between the two of them by the end of it that like there was no way they were going to come to an agreement regardless.
That's how petty some people are, where they're just like, I'd rather we both be eliminated than let you have it. It was like crazy level of petty. Murph says, yeah, the microaggressions were crazy. Yeah, they really, really were. I totally agree. but it was just, because she was like, I want to play a game that doesn't involve skill. And he's like, no, I want to play a game that involves throwing. And I didn't understand what else she wanted, because almost every game involve some level of throwing. So I didn't really know what she wanted to do. And everyone else was playing a throwing game, regardless of what their skill level was.
I'll throw with my left hand. To me, that felt like a reasonable compromise.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, like saying like, I don't want it to be this type of throwing because I'm not good at that. That feels fair to me. Like that, you know what? You're not even fair, but screw fair.
Yeah.
Because you're there to win. You're there. You're at the end of the day, you want to do what best suits you. But to just be like, I only will play a game of chance. Like, I will only do something where it's complete luck of the draw. Like, hell no. That's like, we're here. Like, we're here to take the money. Like, we're doing, like, come on. I'm not just leaving it to a coin flip.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Someone asked, like, would either of us apply for season two? I would totally apply for season two. I have no regrets. I would do it. I would totally do it.
Not a chance. No, not even a little bit of a chance. I know my mental health couldn't take it, just being away from home that long and with that many, like, that big of a group of people with no chance of just, like, having my own space, backing out of things, and no, not a chance. I couldn't do it.
So, like, I've been through some tough things. Like, I've climbed Kilimanjaro. I've been on the top of a mountain in the freezing cold with diarrhea. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, that, like, I'm built different. So, I would totally do it. And I would just do it for the experience. I think it would be really, really cool. I don't even care about winning the money. And if I did win the money, I'd probably donate, like, a majority of it. Probably, like, 75% of it. I would just donate it. Because, like, I would just do it for the experience. And I would definitely be one of those people that's not a leader. I am not a leader. I am not someone who's, like, put myself out there and, like, you know, be the forefront. I am an enabler. Like, I'll find a leader and I'll become their little henchman. And I'm the Smithers to people's Mr. Burns. All right. That's who I am. I'm like, all right. And then, like, once they go after the king, I'm left, you know? So, like, that's my strategy. That's what I would do. What about you? What would be your strategy on the show?
Yeah, after seeing it, I would just do whatever I could to just, like, almost be in, like, a form of meditation throughout the whole thing. Like, just really, you know, keep to myself, help other people whenever the opportunity is there, but not vocally, you know, not really make a name for myself, not try and cause any types of stirs, but just, you know, like, quietly help people whenever there's a chance, so people, whether it's consciously or not, just, like, are thinking positively about me. And then just go as quiet as possible and really just try and think of it as, like, not even just the whole thing isn't just a challenge with the games and stuff like that, but I'm playing a game with myself throughout the whole thing. And that game is, you're staying calm, you're staying silent, you're staying stoic and composed throughout this entire thing.
Yeah. No, totally. I totally get that. I thought that was really, really cool. And then the next game after the marbles was they get to pick a leader. And obviously your homie TJ volunteered and he was like, I'll do it. And everybody's, like, super into it. Everyone liked him. So everyone's kind of, like, into it. But that's also one of the things where, like, bro.
Except a few others who are just like, you know what? Screw this guy. But also let him be the leaders because I know that means he's going to be out of here.
Exactly. So he picks Maya, somebody that, like, is it Maya or Maya? I forget.
Maya,
right? So he picks her and then, you know, they're coming out. And then this girl who was basically almost unnoticeable, all of a sudden, she gets her moment and she's like, you know what? I think all the girls should band together and pick all girls. And I'm like, whoa, what a, if there was any point in the game to, like, pick this, like, feminist, like, you know, girl power and stick together thing, this was the time. This was the perfect time to enact that. So they picked Mai and they picked a few girls. And then when she went up, she was like, we're all going to pick women. And they all, majority of them, picked women. A few people did not. And what I realized is, like, they picked the least, I want to say the least masculine men, but, like, the men who were not, like, overly masculine, right? Like, they picked a few of the guys that were queer. They picked a few guys that were, like, very meek and quiet. So they were, like, going out of their way to make sure that these, like, really aggressive, like, men would not get picked. And I totally understand that because, number one, like, they have an advantage, they're, like, big and strong, and two, like, they can, if they have these strong personalities, not even just strong physically, like, strong personality wise they can bulldoze all of people's strategies or any kind of, like, rules they might have. And I thought that was genius. I thought for the women to do this, it was so smart. And I don't even care if people are like, oh, what if men did this, it would look really, really bad. And I'm like, well, you know what, man, like, there's a power dynamic here.
We've been,
like,
doing this for thousands of years, so
exactly
deal with it.
Like, I thought that was really, really cool. Murphy says, I love Jackie and B, the deaf woman and the mental woman. The mental woman, I swear to God, like if she didn't honor the pact that they have later with the dice game, I think she would have won the whole thing. She was so smart. She eliminated herself and she knew she was going to eliminate herself, but like she stood on integrity and was like, okay, everyone's doing this. I'm going to do it too. And she basically eliminated herself. And I really think she could have went all the way. The deaf girl, I liked her too, but she had a weird encounter with the guy when she was playing marbles that like made me feel a little weird. They got into a little fight and I didn't really understand their fight. But yeah,
he was just being an asshole for literally no reasons. And I feel like that came out afterwards a bit too, where he had just been picking some fights with people for no reason other than just kind of like stubbornness and ignorance.
Yeah.
And just using that into his argument a little bit of just like, I am ignorant about this, so you can't get mad at me for it. And it's like, that's actually not how life works. That just makes you an asshole. Like,
yeah, it was that whole thing was a very weird to me how that happened. But yeah, I thought she was going to go far too. But yeah, they do this thing and I don't know, like when they picked all the girls and they got rid of like a lot of these guys, I was like, damn, that's genius. But I was really, really happy. Like at the very end, I was like, oh man, my dude Pranav it's not gonna make it. He was the only South Asian left on there. He's from Nepal. And I was like, yo, at the very least, pick him. He's like, he's harmless. Just pick him. And they did. And I was really, really happy about that. And then we got to see his backstory about how he was like a doctor and he was like, his parents came as a refugee and he's been around people who have like no money and stuff like that. And he wants to go back and help them. I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling for this guy. I really, really like him. So I'm really, really glad that like he got it. And I think it was a great strategy. And it wasn't like super sexist because they did pick a lot of the guys after they went through all the women. And I thought that was fair. And they got they eliminated a lot of the strongest like competitors. I'm not mad at that. I thought that was genius.
Yeah, no, I have no qualms with that whatsoever. Kind of like, it's like we said, like, there is really no reverse sexism in this. Men have been doing this for generations and generations and generations. It's I came straight from to this episode from watching some Barbies, so I'm deep in patriarchy mode. Pardon my French. Yeah. I don't know. I have no issues with it. It's good on you. Like so, smart gameplay.
Yeah. So after this thing happens, I believe they do the glass floor with the bridge. This was probably the highlight of the show. This was so crazy. And what they did was they made you play a game where you had to pick a stuffed animal. That stuffed animal had a number. And then you give that number to somebody you want. So if it's a low number, you give it to somebody you don't like. If it was a high number, you give it to somebody you do like. And then you see people pick all these people. And somebody just said it. The tensions were so high. Murph just said it. And I loved it. And then you feel really bad for the people who had to go first. But then somebody had this idea about like, hey, why don't we all just like pick one? And that way everyone has an equal chance. So what happened is you go and pick a step. And if you fall through, you the next person goes. If you don't fall through, you don't have to pick the next 20 steps. Someone else picks the one after you, which makes the game level the playing field a little bit, which is genius. It's a smart move. It makes it super fair. So they do this in the beginning. A few people get eliminated. Your boy, I believe, gets eliminated.
Man, that was like such a whirlwind of emotions because, yeah, it's like, so for those who didn't tune into the first episode, the part one of the challenge here on the Salam Nerds podcast, I was talking about how, like, my guy TJ Stukes, I knew him from before the show. We were Twitter buddies in a few group chats together. He's been on the Agents of Fandom podcast a few times. I was so rattled because like he's going first. Obviously he loses. Like there's obviously he's falling. And then they come up with this idea, right? That is 50-50 for everybody. So he just needs to get one. He's just got to get one and he's good. And of course on that first one, 50-50 chance he falls. Yeah. Such a wild roller coaster.
Because if he got the one, his turn wouldn't come back around again until the very end. So he would have most likely made it. And they did this until Trey came there. And Trey came there, and then this girl overtook Trey, but she died. So it was not die. I mean, she she basically fell through, which I found out that they don't even fall through. They basically, that was like a lie. They actually have a stuntman come in and fall through for you. So like, the glass didn't open and you fall. Basically what happens is like, they'll just like, you pretend to fall and then they'll say cut. And then they'll add like a stuntman in there and then they really fall. So you actually didn't even fall, which I thought was like lame. I would have wanted to fall. I thought that would have been really, really fun.
Yeah. Come on. That adds to it.
Yeah. But yes. So the person who overtook Trey, she got eliminated. And then Ashley's turn was, the internet was in a tizzy about Ashley, because Ashley was like, nope, I'm not going. And he's like, okay, this girl isn't doing it. So he takes another step and he makes it. And then he looks at her again and he gives her the meanest look. He's like, this girl is not budging. She's not going to do it. So he makes another one. And like, he makes three in a row. He gets three in a row right. Like, the chances of getting more than three in a row right is so low. So he goes to his fourth one. He falls through the thing. He's gone. And then Ashley, it's like, decides to take a step. She goes all the way up. She takes her one step. Now she wants to go with a plan. Now she wants to be like, okay, somebody overtake me. Be like, I swear to God, I with Trey, I would have been like, okay, I'm going to go. But if I die, if I get eliminated, nobody overtake Ashley. Make sure she does the whole round by herself, because there is no way she should get that benefit. And look, in her defense, all's fair, man. You do whatever you got to do, right? You can do whatever it takes. But she was like, nope, I did one. And everyone's like, okay, great. She's like, I'm a team player. I did one. And everyone's just like, okay, just forget about it. And they all like are back on the plan. And I'm just like, man, I am too petty. I would not let that slide. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. It was one of those things where it is such a high pressure situation that it's tough to not just, if somebody ruffles everything up and then decides to once again go with the flow, it's tough to kind of revert back into another plan of like, hey, screw this. No, everybody band against that person now. It's much easier to just be like, all right, we're back in our routine. We're back in our structure and I feel more comfortable now. And so I understand why everybody fell back into it too quick, but I agree with you. I would probably have a little bit of what the hell too.
So the thing is like, I'm not mad at her for doing it. I'm more mad. And I'm not even mad at people being like, oh, there's a high tension thing. So they kind of just like in the moment were like, all right, look, whatever happened. Let's stick with the plan now. I don't even mind that. The thing that got me was that after this whole thing is done and won, no one brought it up again. No one cared. Everyone let it slide except for Mai. And this only was the reason I was rooting for Mai. Because I was like, I was so mad at Ashley that I was like, you know what, man? I think I agree with Mai. I don't know. That's what really turned her into maybe. But like in her defense, like, you know, everyone is for themselves. But I feel like she should have been held accountable. Like she should have been like, I'm sorry. I was scared. I was nervous. I don't know. They just dropped it. They never brought it up. And I don't know. I just felt a certain way about it. And I guess like I'm too petty. Like I don't know why that bothers me so much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I mean, I was agreeing with Mai when she was ringing stuff back up. And I felt weird that everybody was like, yeah, no, it was just nothing. But at the same time, like, it's just when you get down to that final four, you know, it comes down so much to like, how much do I care about this? How much should I care about this? If will caring about this be my downfall? You know, it's just, it's so much more than just being able to go with like a group think of like, well, there's 30 people on this side. I'll go to this side too. Yeah. When you're down to like that final five, six, four people, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's a lot tougher to make those choices.
It definitely is. It's definitely a tough situation to be in for sure. But yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting. And then what else happened? So after this, I believe a bunch of them got across. I don't remember all the people who won, all the people who lost, but they do this dice game. And the way the dice game works is basically if you roll a six, you get to nominate somebody, but you have to nominate them before you roll a six. So everyone's like, hey, let's make it fair. Just like last time, everyone nominate yourself. Now at here, based on previous information, I would be like, I don't trust Ashley to do this because last time she didn't go with the flow. So I could understand Mai's thinking and being like, no, let's eliminate Ashley. She's not a team player. She screwed over everyone last time. And when her turn comes, I don't believe in her to do it again. So Mai dominates Ashley. She rolls. She doesn't get a six. Ashley's still in. Everyone else is like, yeah, that's between you two. We're all going to nominate ourselves. And then they all nominate herself. And then when Ashley came to her turn, she decides to basically nominate Mai, which I don't blame her for that. Totally. Like, she nominated you, you nominate her. Totally get that. And they went around, and then a few people ended up getting rid of themselves. I think Pranav was one of them. B was one of them. She was the girl who was the Mensa person, who was like genius, who I think would have won the entire game if it wasn't for this right here. And then the Pranav were the other three that got eliminated. And then and the big guy, he got eliminated too. And that was really funny because like he eliminated himself, and then Mai like hits him in the chest. He goes, "Damn you, damn you." And I thought that was a little overdramatic, but it was really funny. What are your thoughts about the dice game?
Yeah, I feel like that Mai thing, she almost had to like double down on her love for him and like relationship with him because of, I think she felt a lot of, she felt pretty bad about how she had treated TJ, especially with like TJ throughout all that stuff was like, I trust Mai, I'm riding with Mai. And for the whole, for like 75% of it, she was like, I don't actually trust this guy. Yeah. And then she realized he was following through with his words and was like, oh my goodness, I feel so terrible. But because she did a lot of those like backstabby things towards him to protect this guy, I think she felt like that extra, well, no, I'm double wrong if I'm not with this guy all the way. So that extra connection. And so, yeah, that was that made for a bit of an awkward, awkward scene, but it was a fun game. I'm always more pro the more skill and strategy involved, the better. And when it comes down to luck, I just kind of, it's exciting, but it's less exciting for me. And so it was kind of cool, but it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that what would have made it fun if people were not choosing themselves, if they were choosing like a single person and then they were telling you like why they chose that person, that would have gotten really awkward, and it would have got a lot of drama, and it would have got very testy. And I think that would have been more entertaining, but they were like, let's be civilized. And they didn't want to like,
boo.
I mean, I get it. When you're in the moment, you don't want to like want everything to go into anarchy, but also like, yeah, give us the entertainment. I totally get that. All right. So then after this happens, I think there's just 9 people left. And this is what I'm talking about. Other than Mai, every single person was just a fly on the wall, very meek. We got Haley, didn't ruffle any feathers. She was just there looking pretty. We had Phil, amazing hair, just hanging out. We had Roland. We had Sam. We had Rose. And Ashley and Mai were probably the only two that had, like, you know, some kind of, like, drama with them, which I thought was really, really interesting. What are your thoughts about these people being the, like, the final 9 people?
If you show me that from the beginning, I'd be like, huh, I don't even remember who these people were. But it really makes sense to what we were talking about throughout this entire thing, is the more of a name you make for yourself, the bigger the target on your back is. And it doesn't matter if you're making a name for yourself in a positive way, in a negative way. If people recognize, if more than just your little group of allies are recognizing you and you're coming up in conversation on a daily basis, you're at risk of going home. And so I think all of those people did a really good job of, you know, Mai and Ashley had their thing until the end, but until then were very quiet, staying out of large group things, outside of Mai a little bit, but still, even still, it was more of like people fighting battles on her behalf as opposed to her actively getting in the battles.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. What were your thoughts about the next game, which is the one with the gift? Like, you place a gift on the desk and then you have to figure out who gave it to you. And this is one of those games where like thumbs up, seven up, mafia, all these games. I thought this was a really, really interesting one. I think Phil killed it. Not only did he did a whole monologue, he went into some like noir, like detective work, and he got every single person right.
Just picked it every single time.
you know, Phil killed it. Phil killed it. And then Rose got eliminated. Ashley got eliminated. A bunch of people got eliminated. But what I thought was interesting, when the people are left, they asked Mai, like, who did you pick? And she was like, who eliminated Roland? Who eliminated Roland? And she was like, I don't know. And it was her. I don't know why she lied about it, but it was her. And then she was like, I picked somebody else. It's a complete lie. And part of me is like, is she shady? Or is this a strategy? Because those two were friends with Roland and she didn't want them to know that she eliminated her friend. Like, what were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that was just smart strategy. Was it a little shady? Yes. But do you need to get a little shady to win Squid Game the challenge? Yes. And so I'm very much of the opinion of, like, I'm trying to play as clean and respectful of a game as possible. I'm not going to outright stab somebody in the back and, like, do something terrible to them. You know, I'm not going to lie on somebody else's name and just say bad things about them that didn't happen, nothing like that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I got to do to win at the end of it. And I'm not going to throw somebody under the bus, but I'll protect myself and I'll get some lies in there. I'm not going to lie about what somebody else did, but I'll lie about what I did. I think that was just smart strategy at the end there. She didn't want to put that target on her back. Everybody knew she had the beef with Ashley. The person who put it on Ashley's thing was gone. So she realized at that moment, like, oh, I can get away with this. Smart strategy.
That was really, really interesting because everybody knew the beef between them and Ashley and they were using it to their advantage. And I thought that was really, really funny. That was a great moment. I really like it. But like Rose was my favorite character. Like contestant. I really, really want, she was like very low key. I loved her hair. I loved like, she was like just like there, but she wasn't like starting like issues with anybody. I really liked her. I really thought she was going to win, but now we have Mai, Sam and Phil. And this is where it gets really interesting because they go to dinner and they have this nice steak dinner and all this food. And it's like really interesting because I'm like, they probably weren't eating great for like the last 2 weeks or how long they've been in there. Like the food does not look appetizing because like the way they like ran for the burger, I was like, yeah, they're not getting fed really well. So they go there, they have this great food, they're dressed up, and then this competition comes out and basically the triangle, circle and square, and if you pick one it eliminates you, if you pick the other it eliminates if you pick one it eliminates you, if you pick the other one it doesn't do anything, and if you pick the other one it gives you the opportunity to eliminate somebody. Now in this situation, I feel like the best situation for Phil was to not go up there because Sam was an ally of Phil and Mai wanted to get rid of Sam. So it made no sense for Phil to get there because if Mai got eliminated, it would be Phil and Sam. If Mai didn't get eliminated, she was going to pick Sam and it would have been Mai and Phil. But Mai picked it and nothing happened. So at this point, it makes the most sense for Sam to go because if Sam goes up, he can pick Mai and it'll be Sam and Phil. And if he picks the one that gets him eliminated, he's gone. So Phil has no intention of like going up there. He's still trying to be nice and he's like, I'll do it. I mean, but I don't want to. But it made the way it played out made the most sense to me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It like, I honestly found the ending to be fairly anticlimactic. Like as we get down to this final three, it was very like procedural. All right, let's just get on with it. Who's going to win the money? Let me see them celebrate. Yeah. Because it did just feel very like, all right, one down. All right, next person go. It very, very anticlimactic. Like let's get all these people hanging on a bar and just see them, see them sweating and whoever hangs on the longest gets the win, you know, something crazy like that. Put snakes beneath them. A pit of spiders. I don't know. Let's ramp up the intensity a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So they do this and basically Mai eliminates Sam. So it's Mai and Phil. They're the only two left. Then they go into their last game and the last game is rock, paper, scissors. Right. So you pick rock, paper, scissors, you win. Then you go into a box and you pick out a key. And if that key opens the box, you win. So they did this so many times where I was like, damn, like how hidden is this key that the fact they had to do it so many times? But Mai ripped. She knew his number. She won so many times that like they couldn't even edit it in a way to make it look like it was fair. And she said that like men choose the more aggressive, more. So they chose rock or scissors. So That means he's going to pick from two. She has the option. So basically, she knows that he's going to go between those two. So that gives her like less options. So she's like, okay, I could either go with paper or I can go with rock, because he's going to, I don't need to go with scissors because he's only going to pick those other two.
Interesting. And she, paper, scissors is my tertiary one. I'm a rock guy. Definitely yeah. Rock number one, but paper is my number two. Scissors is where I don't go scissors very often.
I feel like you really got to look into the eye of the person and figure out like what they're going to do. It's more about what they are than what you are. Mm-hmm. And I think like Mai was like, she got it. She had his number. She got so many tries. And then finally, she ended up winning. And I agree with you. I feel like it was a little anticlimactic. I feel like it should have been a little bit more. But yeah, she won. She won the $4.56 million or whatever it is. Even though I don't know if she got it yet or not, but she won the whole game. And I was kind of happy. She wasn't my number one pick, but I was like, all right, good for her, man. What were your thoughts about her winning the whole thing?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. Like, especially just in a world where so many of the reality shows we see are either one, we just see incredibly attractive, young, hetero people having a dating show.
Yeah.
Two, it's the most physically strong people who can outlast people in challenges and go through the most grueling things. Not always, but more often than not, it's a man who wins.
Yeah.
So it was really great to see someone a little bit older, a woman of color.
Yeah.
All of these different things. I thought it was fantastic to see her win. I agree. Like, there are other people I was cheering for throughout, but she earned it. She earned it right from the get-go. Like, she fought for her spot. She fought to stay there, and she earned it.
Yeah, I totally think she did teamwork when teamwork needed to be done, and she played it like cunningly when she needed to be cunning. She was right on the money. She played the game like the best way she could, and I'm not mad at her for it. I thought it was really cool, and I really did like the fact that they went back and they showed us like how these people are living their lives after the show. Like, you know, they're at home playing ping pong, they're chilling out with their kids to let them know like, oh, they're just normal people. But then they show her going to like the ATM and looking at all her money and it's like, whoa, she's rich now, which like turns out was false because she didn't get her money until like 30 days after the show.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really funny. She probably has her money now, hopefully. But that was, I don't know. I think this was way more entertaining than I thought it would be. I still think they missed the plot of the show to actually make something like this. I don't know. It's pretty, pretty interesting. And it was wild. And I did find out that you cannot share the money, which is really, really interesting, because that would have been me. I would have been making deals with everybody. I would be promising $100,000 to everybody on that show for not voting. And they were like, no, you can't do that. I was like, damn, that sucks. But yeah,
I would have been doing the exact same thing. I'm with you there. I think it was more exciting than I thought it would be too. I couldn't agree more that they missed the plot. Like, we talked about this a lot in the part one, from not paying the creators any royalties, just that's going insane. Like, hey, you guys gave us a great idea. Thanks. We paid you for it. We purchased it. It is ours now, on a show that is so anti-capitalistic. And the whole purpose of it is like taking a thematic shot at capitalism.
Yeah.
It's wild how Netflix decided to go about that. And I couldn't agree more that just throughout they missed the plot, and there could have been a lot of ways that they enhanced it. Yeah. But from sheer entertainment value, they did a pretty good first season.
Yeah. The thing is, like, if this show was just a bunch of like rich people who didn't need the money on this show, I would have been felt like one way about it. But they gave us these stories of like all these people. Someone was like, you know, my biggest dream is to pay off my car. I was like, bro, that's like that's the kind of people you have on this show. Like, they really like showed us people who were desperate, who really needed the money. And like, it was tough to see them like, you know, like not reach their dreams, and they have to go back and they have to live these lives. That part of me, it was really tough when they go back and they're like, you know, I want to have money for my kids and provide for my kids, and we don't have that much. We can't afford a house, we can't afford a car. And then you see why they're so desperate in these situations. that's the part that I'm just like, yo, you're really, really not understanding the plot of the movie.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Like they definitely lost it, but hopefully that's something they can improve upon in future seasons, because you know they're doing more seasons because a ton of people watched it.
I think a great way to do this is like you got to give them some money, like pay people like $600 a day for being there or something, right? Like you have the money, you can have like $4.4 million to give. You can put in there, like there's a lot of people and they're not going to be there, or like per contest, like every contest you win, you get like a little bit. They don't have to tell everybody, but like,
that's what I was going to say. Like, not even just like, they don't even have to be per all the big contests. Just have little things that result in people being rewarded for it, that they get to take home things throughout the game.
Yeah, because you know, like a lot of people took off from work. That's money they're losing to be on this show. I don't know. That kind of made me feel a certain way about it.
So, having said that, though, like that's a lot to be said. Like to win, you know, we're saying to win, we want to be. No one knows our name. We want to be hidden. We want to be a fly on the wall, right? But getting your TV time can do wonders.
That is true.
You talk about taking some time off of work. Well, you can turn your name, turn your 15 minutes of fame into actually something quite worthwhile if you are well received from your time on there. So there actually is something to be said. Like, shout out my guy TJ, like some people he rubbed the wrong way, but for the most part he stayed true to himself, and most people liked him for that, and he's gotten a lot more opportunities and visibility since this show has aired. So there's a lot to be said too, that like, even if you don't win a reality TV show, as long as you present yourself well on camera, you can actually still benefit financially from that. I think a lot in the future as well.
A lot of the people who got a decent amount of screen time, like I, for some reason, I felt like, I think like the day before the last episode, I don't know, I think they're like NDAs expire or something. They were all on TikTok, and my TikTok just blew up with everybody from Squid Game talking about their experience. And I looked, every single one of them had over like 50K, 100K followers. And I'm just like, oh, damn, like, you know, hopefully they can turn that into something and, you know, make some money off of it. Hopefully they get these like, you know, opportunities and some, you know, sponsorships. We'll see. I feel like TJ, you know, with his basketball and coaching, I could see him turning that into a coaching job where he's like, you know, what are those people called? They're called coaches, right? Self-help coach or something like that. Like you could totally do something like that. Like a motivational speaker. Like I can totally see him turning something into that. But yeah, totally, man. I'm all about it. Do you have any final thoughts about the show in general?
No, not really. You know, I give it a solid B for a first season. A lot of things that they could have done better. A lot of things I'd like to see them improve upon in the future, both from a gameplay standpoint, making it more exciting, you can keep your random chance in there, but maybe adding a few more skill and strategy based things and have not so much of it just be randomized. Pay their damn creators some royalties, because they're continuing to make success off and financial gain off of their ideas. And then they did a pretty good job of making riveting, enjoyable, goosebump inducing, sweating edge of your seat television. So
yeah,
a solid B for the first season.
Totally. I feel like it definitely went beyond my expectations. Do you think they're going to do the same games in the second season, or are they going to come up with like all new types of games?
I bet you there'll be some of the same. And because like, you know, there were some things like, everybody expected that tug of war, and it never did. So I bet you the ones we didn't get, we will get in season two. And then we'll probably see some sort of variations of the things we've seen, you know? Like, I bet you if there's a picnic in season two, what ends up happening is everybody goes, remember what happened in season one?
Yeah,
like, don't go with your alliance. Go with somebody you don't like.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
it's a 2v2 game, and you have to team up with that person you don't like.
Yes.
Doing it differently. Like,
I can totally see that happening.
A bunch of things like that.
Yeah. I wonder if the season two of Squid Game will actually come out, and then they'll do the Squid Game reunion based off of those games. That would be interesting.
Definitely possible. Definitely possible. Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Listen, TJ, thank you so much for joining us. Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me. My tag is here on the screen. Oh, there we go. Now I got it. Now I'm pointing in the right spot. TJ underscore Zwarych 5, Z-W-A-R-Y-C-H 5. But more importantly, follow the Agents of Fandom anywhere you get your socials, anywhere you get your podcasts. It's at Agents Fandom on TikTok and Twitter, Agents of Fandom everywhere else. And you can find us on YouTube. Wherever you get your podcasts, agentsoffandom.com. We write about all things TV, movies, sports, not that much sports actually, but a little bit of sports, and gaming is the other, and anime as well. We're kind of covering all sorts of stuff right now. So
ooh, very cool.
On the podcast, we got just dropped an episode with the Salam Nerds crew. Yes, Jazz yes. and Neebs joined us for the first three quarters of What If. Yep. We'll do a little bit more What If talk, and then we're going to do Echo, we're going to do Percy Jackson, so lots of fun things coming.
Ooh, very, very cool. All right, man. Well, we're definitely going to try to have you guys back on the show, and if it's not you, it's going to be somebody from your team, because you guys always end up on here, which, like, I feel like we're like a sister podcast where you just, like, have on each other all the time, which is awesome. But I also love your website. You got so many great writers. Everyone who writes for you, I feel like, is a friend of mine, because I talk to them on Twitter, and I read their articles, and I'm just like, oh, these are just so great. But thank you for joining us, man. And until next time, guys, Salam Nerds.